Happy Valentine's Day. There may be a few here for whom it's a special day in one way or another. 53 years ago, I asked the girl in my life if she would marry me. And here we are today, some wear and tear and a few miles. But as I like to say, 24 children in our lives. The five we raised, the five they married, and 14 grandchildren. I want to congratulate anyone else here for whom this is a special day. This day is dedicated as World Marriage Day. Every marriage is meant to be an icon, a representation of God's love. The love shared by a man and a woman in marriage points to the self-giving, self-sacrificing love God has for each one of us. We face many challenges today, and the pandemic affects everyone in some way, from being sick to employment issues and on and on. The mental and physical stresses from the social upheaval are both personal and communal. And sometimes hardest of all, our family and marriage relationships are stressed as well. But I have heard from some that this has actually been a positive effect. With remote learning and remote work, a lot of families suddenly found themselves home all day, every day, with everybody. A little stressful and whatnot, but as they've worked their way through it, they are coming to really enjoy the blossoming relationships. So the challenge of addressing you here this morning is we have people here who are single, married, widows, widowers, and divorced. God loves us all. We are his children, each and every one of us. He loves you more than you know. He sent his son to die on the cross, taking all of our sins on the cross in order that we might be free. He loves you so much. He does not want to leave you where you are in your relationship with him, no matter where you are. He doesn't want to leave you there. He wants you to love him more today than yesterday, and to love him even more tomorrow. All sacraments, by definition, are signs instituted by Christ to give grace. And the grace of each sacrament is unique to itself. The graces of the sacrament of marriage strengthen a couple to help them weather the storms of life. They strengthen us in our life as a married couple on our journey to holiness and salvation. These graces are also meant to be shared so that we can and will reach out and help and support others, maybe those who are younger than ourselves, and certainly those who are struggling. Any couple married for just about any length of time can tell you there will be difficult times that require effort, sacrifice, recommitment to keep the marriage and family strong. And sadly, there are also many couples who are suffering the pain of divorce and a broken family. Or you know someone who is. Each experience is unique, and regardless of the individual circumstances, God's mercy is great. Pope Francis has written about this and spoke on it more than once, so I believe I can say with some confidence that it is his desire to see all people in need avail themselves of the opportunity to seek the church's help and God's grace in these difficult circumstances. I know personally from advocating many annulment cases over the years, this is not an easy task. But the people on the diocesan tribunal will help as much as they can while also respecting canonical teachings. The diocese, their family and respect life ministry, has many programs just for married couples: Marriage Encounter, Corazon, Max's Ministry, Rachel's Vineyard, and others. Probably, at least anyways to me, the more familiar one is Marriage Encounter. Corazon is for couples who are struggling in their marriage. Max's Ministry is for couples who have lost an infant or a child. And Rachel's Vineyard is for those who have suffered an abortion. And there are other programs. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is physical, but listening requires effort. Jesus hears a prayer in the words of the leper saying, "If you wish, you can make me clean." You heard some of the dilemma of having leprosy in the first reading, about being unclean and being ostracized. The disease itself in Jesus' time was incurable. It led to death. But from what we hear, I think we can maybe conclude that for many people, the greatest suffering was being banned from the camp. They could not be with their family and friends. They could not go to the temple and pray. Something I think we're kind of familiar with. Remember last spring, 12 weeks, there was nobody here but Monsignor saying Mass by himself. And our admonishments all the time to social distance and so on, minor compared to what the leper had to deal with. So Jesus not only cured him of his disease, he made him clean. And he did not issue these words from a distance. He touched him. Touching him. This would have been a shock to anyone that would have seen that. And he said, "I do will it, I make you clean." This touching shows how intimate Jesus is, not only with the leper, but with you and I. And then he told the leper two things: go show yourself to the priest and do not tell anyone. The priest could not cure him, but by observing the mandates of the law, the priest could declare him clean. And he could rejoin his family and community and the people at the temple. "Tell no one anything" is maybe a little more puzzling. Partly, I don't envision that this miracle occurred in private. Somebody may very well have seen it. And then most certainly, the leper didn't listen. He publicized the whole matter because he was joyful at having been cleaned. He could not contain himself at having been declared clean. And so the word spread. But I think there might be some other thing behind Jesus saying, "Do not tell anyone." Those words may have been more addressed toward the evil spirits, because Jesus drove out evil spirits. And they know who Jesus is. They know who Jesus is. In Mark's gospel, this secret is not revealed for another 7 chapters. When Peter, I love Peter, when Peter answers the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Messiah." The Messiah, the Savior. Today, you and I have this faith. We know through our faith that Jesus is the Messiah, God's Son, sent to redeem us of our sins and open the gates of heaven. So, with this faith, with this knowledge, with this joy, you and I can live our lives through whatever comes our way. Prosperity or poverty, persecution or freedom. And we can heed Paul's words when he says, "Whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God."